All right, man, here we go. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're looking at a very destructive force in Saul's life that it's important that we are mindful of its potential destruction in our own life. And this is why it's important that we are growing with other men, that we are becoming more and more transparent and trusting of one another so that we can talk about these kind of issues. Because when you take something out of the personal darkness and secretness of our life and we bring it out into the light, that's where life comes, okay? So I hope you're not just going solo at this point. Consider a relationship with another man in your life that's going to help you flesh out these things. David had one such man in his life, a friendship and a brotherhood that he had with Saul's son, Jonathan. David and Jonathan had a close soul-to-soul relationship. Soul meaning mind. Their minds were alike. Their wills were alike. And their emotions, mind, will, and emotions were similar. Jonathan is an exemplary man for a couple of reasons. And I hope that this quality is alive and active in our life. I want it to be in mine. Are you interested in other people's success equally, if not more, than your own? Now think about that. Are you going through life looking at what you can get? Gimme, gimme, my name's Jimmy. Or are you equally, if not more, interested in helping other people succeed? We're all in different seasons of life, and we have different needs, different levels of experience, and different levels of wisdom. But who are you building up? Who is your protege? Who is someone that you're mentoring? Who is someone that works for you that you want to see promoted, that you want to see gain respect and admiration and prosperity? Jonathan was one such man. He gave David his robe, his sword. He gave David his tunic, his belt, and his bow. Symbolism of you are the heir to the throne. Though I am rightful heir to the king, to the monarchy, you actually have been selected by God. To yield and to help someone else. What a quality. To realize that it's not all about you. You're not the center of the universe. But Jonathan saw, knitted together with his discussions and his friendship with David, that David was the heir to the throne. To relinquish, to surrender what one is rightfully yours. What rights do we have anyway? Think about it. Jonathan was quite a man. Assuring David's success, setting him up for success, and defending David even behind the scenes when his father Saul got wicked. David began to rise in influence and status in Israel and in military rank. And we look at verse 7 in this chapter. It reads like this. People are singing in the streets. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Let's think about this for a moment. Saul has an ongoing foothold in his life. What does this mean? If the devil wants to crawl all over your back, where in your life do you give him invitation to step on you? If you're climbing a rock face and you're looking for a place to stick your foot, to go vertical, what has been established as a place where Satan can put his foot and crawl all over you? Saul has given the enemy permission by being jealous, by walking with an incredible insecurity and being threatened by those who he should be trying to help succeed. He's threatened by them and he's afraid. And as a result, Saul seeks to attempt in killing David both twice. Scripture says that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had departed from Saul. One of the things Saul would do is he would send David to the front lines time and time again, thinking that the enemy would eventually kill him. What do you think David learned that trick with Uriah later in his life? Saul taught him that, not probably something he was proud of. Notice also that Saul wants to offer his daughter to David. Why? Because we keep our friends close, but we keep our enemies closer. Saul realizes that if he can keep David, his perceived enemy, closer, he can control him. By the way, if you have issues with trust in your life, you probably have issues of control in your life. Those who don't trust those around them will up the control. If anyone has ever called you a control freak, and you think, how can I not be a control freak? The answer is probably to trust people more. Trust people to do their job. Trust people not to be your enemy. Be wise like a serpent and gentle like a dove, but trust. Hey, by the way, Most people who don't trust are themselves not trustworthy. I don't know if that's possible in your life to look at. But anyway, that's something worth journaling. Who are you going to build up today? Whether it's a waiter, a waitress, a mechanic, someone comes to fix an appliance at your home, someone who delivers your packages to your office. Who are you building up? Let that spirit of Jonathan be upon you today to yield at times, to give others opportunities to excel and to prosper and to move up in rank and status. And may their approval not be a threat to you. Your success in life is not what you do and how you do it alone. Your success is based on whether or not you have a successor. Jonathan wants a successor, David. Saul does not want a successor. He is threatened by him. Grooming a man, mentoring a man, making someone who's strong your ally is wise. But Saul walks with incredible insecurity. The scripture says that Jonathan loved David as himself. What does that sound like? If you don't love others, you know what? In some ways, because you don't love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. We love others to the extent that we actually approve of ourselves and love ourselves. If we have a deficit towards other people, friend, you have a deficit towards yourself. Are you seeing yourself as God sees you? Are you walking with confidence? Saul is loving others as Saul loves himself. Second greatest commandment. He doesn't love others. Guess what? He don't like himself much. If you have an issue with yourself, you need to get it rectified, because you're making life for everyone else around you less loving, less accepting, less encouraging, and less building up than it could be. We need to get that right. A faithful man understands, not in a haughty, prideful way, but they understand who they are in Christ. They don't apologize for it, and they act accordingly to that power and that love being on them and in them of Christ and the mind of Christ. If you're down on yourself, I guess you're going to have to get used to the fact you're going to be down on others. And this is what Saul's issue is. Jealousy, insecurity, a lack of courage, and a paranoia that comes out of a lack of trust and a desire to control everything around him. Do you have a relationship with another person, a man, to which you can be open and honest and transparent? And if this isn't a great opportunity to be encouraged in that area and to actually move on that thing, you need to do that. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27 and 17. Let's go back and pick up our memory verses. Make sure we got Proverbs 3, 3 and 4, Galatians 5 and 22. And by this time you should all know 1 Samuel 2 and 35. But let's just not know them. Let's act them out. Let's work them out in our life. Journal, 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 journal this week. And we'll see you by way of email, an encouraging email coming midweek. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a great one.